thing. Oh, let me go back and pick up this business about tax. That's, I think I've done some checking, and I want you to get a feel for what I would say if this whole thing slopped over on you. My view is, I don't know, but I don't think Hunt will pull that. I don't think he will either, because I don't think he's going to have to take a fall for a very heavy burglary.
That's right.
But the line of response would be this, as I see it. Starting back in the days when I was counsel to the president, you were very concerned about national security leaks. And we undertook, at that time, a whole series of steps to try and determine the source of leaks. Some of this involved a national security tax, duly and properly authorized and conducted. We had three very serious breaches, and after I left the office of counsel, I continued to follow this
at
your request. We had three very serious breaches. One was the whole Ted Schultz group, one was the Pentagon Papers, and the other was the India. But there were others all through there. And so we had an active and ongoing White House involvement using the resources of the Bureau, the agency, and the various departmental security arms with White House supervision. In this particular instance, Hunt became involved because at the time of the Pentagon Papers break, we had dual concerns. We had concern about the integrity of other documents, and we had concern about the relationship of this particular break to other security leaks that we'd had across the government, RAND, and so forth. And so we moved very vigorously on the whole cast of characters in the Pentagon Papers thing. Some of our findings had never come out. It was an effort to relate that incident to the other national security breaches that we had, and also to find out as much as we could about this. We threw a number of people into this that we had at work on other things, among them Hunt, and he in turn, Liddy. I didn't know, and this is fact, and I've checked this two or three ways, I didn't know what they were doing about this operation in Los Angeles until after it occurred. And they came to me and told me that it had been done and that it was unsuccessful and that they were intending to make a re-entry to try and secure papers that they were after. I said no and stopped it at that point. Interestingly enough, Colson called me several times and remonstrated with me and tried to persuade me that they should go back in. And I said no, and I hung up on that.
So Colson and Hudson were in contact.
Obviously in contact, and I
actually wonder whether Colson and Hunt were in contact later.
Well, that's an inference that arises. Now, I have some memos from Colson to me about the Pentagon Papers problem and about things that ought to be done.
Now,
it indicates to me that he was programming Hunt at that point in time.
Yeah.
Now, what he did later, I don't know.
No, I never had the slightest information from Colson later in the phone session. Why do
you remember the DM business?
Yeah.
And
I said, let's get the facts there.
Right. And so Colson and I both were involved in finding this fellow Kenny, the CIA, and getting his story out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when Hunt first came in the picture, because he was a go-between us and
Tony. Oh, yeah.
And that's when
I heard about that.
Brought him forward.
I heard about that.
Then we kept Hunt on to do various things.
But you know, as far as the whole thing, I think it was not Colson, but you that I was talking.
That's correct. That's correct. And I had no occasion to tell you anything about Colson's involvement.
Well, that's my point.
Young and Crowe operated that whole operation from the beginning, as a matter of fact, with the other leaks, the Ted Schultz leaks and so on. And they carried on through. And Crowe, very frank in saying, I authorized this operation in Los Angeles. No two ways about it. He says, if I'm asked, he says, that's what I'll say, and I'll resign and leave the Department of Transportation and get out of town. He said, I thought at the time we were doing the right thing,
sure,
and so forth.
I don't think you'll have to.
I don't think Hunt will spring, but if he did, I would put the national security tent over this whole operation.
I sure would.
And say, look, there are a lot of things that went on. not in the national interest there. That involved tax, they involved entry, they involved interrogation, they involved a lot of things. And I don't propose to open that up to scrutiny.
Okay,
just hardline it.
I think that's what you have to do there, but I wanted to get that one out. Okay, go ahead.
Right now, on the commission idea, getting on that thing proposed last night. Since I still think, he says he still thinks it's possible, and as a good possible approach, he's been trying to pick it apart from the board at this point. More up there. He says the approach, as he sees it, is that the president says, here's what's been charged about the White House and about the committee to reelect the president. He puts it all in perspective in terms of political, this kind of stuff goes on. This is all bad.
Without any doubt.
Yeah. But we are now at a point where fact and fiction are becoming badly confused. We're involved in an intense political situation where the press, the Senate committee now, and others are prejudging this case. Coulter and Weiger and others who are
against the various people, who, defendants that are guilty, known to be guilty, are making charges.
Right.
Which should of course be.
The FBI is being falsely charged with the inadequate activity in the pussy. So the Justice Department and the U.S. Attorney's Office are being.
They're putting a question.
So forth. Now, no man is above the law. That is a basic principle we must operate on. But under these circumstances, there's no possibility of a fair hearing, and every man is entitled to the protection of the law. And the public is entitled to the facts in this matter. But the people who are in charge and are involved are entitled to fair treatment. People who are involved or who have been accused of being involved. So, I'm creating a super panel, which will have the cooperation of all investigative agencies. All the people who have been charged in this matter have volunteered to submit their facts to this panel.
Be questioned by them.
And be questioned by them. They've agreed to waive their right to trial by jury. And the panel is empowered to act to remove anybody that is seized from federal employment, to level lines, and to impose criminal sanctions. The defendants in the Watergate trial, the panel have already been, can also submit any information that they want. Anyone who does not submit to the proceedings of this committee under these conditions will be faced with the fact that all information developed by the committee from all other sources will be turned over to the Justice Department for criminal prosecution. There will be no judgment until all the facts are received by the commission. And then the commission will make public all of its findings and the reasons for all actions taken. They will proceed in secret, and their decisions will be final and not subject to appeal. And people appearing before them will voluntarily submit to that.
What do you have to appeal? How is that done legally?
I don't know. That sounds like a little bit simpler than that. That's than what I originally thought he had in mind. He says,
the president has the power to set up such a thing. That's what he meant. I know that's what they're trying to do. So this penalty process.
Yeah, but I'm taking away. It isn't that guy. It's the fellow that doesn't submit.
In fact, he's being denied due process. The direct the information on him will be turned over to the criminal.
Negative inference.
We're all condemned by negative inference right now.
I appreciate that, but that's
not condemned, but of course.
It's a little different. Wow, that is a
study one, huh?
That's bad.
So, he feels that there are a lot of advantages on this. Two major internal ones. It would take the panel a long time to get set up, get its processes worked out, get its hearings done, make its findings. And then you'll probably Secondly, that the president maintains the ultimate stroke on it because he always has the option on January 19th for pardoning anybody who wants to pardon. So the potential ultimate penalty on anybody who would get hit in this process could be about 2 years. His view would be to put, need to get some on the ballot for those politics, former governor or something like that. But you want Earl Warren to do the good, not Scott Clark, put to that people. I said, what do you do about Earl? Said, well, you call Earl and down, you tell him the plan, you explain why you're doing it, justice is not being carried out now, there's finger pointing, a lot of problems. You ask him to hold this hearing in advance for a panel. Sure, it's a person.
Or he said, well, I'll hold my hearing in advance on Watergate, but not another thing.
I would guess that.
That's our problem.
And you ask
him. Well, that's not that.
Then I said, what about asking Irwin to serve on the panel? He said, I thought that was a pretty good idea. He probably would do it. They're putting him on his hands in a sticky position. But the only other idea he comes up with is he said, one thing you might want to consider. President Colin Mitchell can throw one on one call. The president now has all the facts on this that are known to us. But I don't know the facts on Mitchell. He said, I think that Mitchell would not pull any punches with the president. That would be a way to find out what Mitchell's true perception of what did or didn't happen was. That's probably all.
Thank you. Realize what they were up to. They were talking about apples and oranges.
That's what I think he would say.
Would you agree?
I think that they authorized apples and they bought oranges. So.
Mitchell, you see, has never learned to go in. There's been perjury. I mean, they can talk about immunity and all the rest, but he's never going to do that.
They won't give him immunity anyways.
Never.
I'll say bigger than the gatekeeper. He's as high up as they can get. He's the big enchilada. The one the magazine zeroed in on this week.
They did. What ground?
It was not just a hope that they maybe had a big fish on them.
Cooper said he'd be happy to have Dean sit in. That might be right up when we want Dean to sit in.
Right.
But if we can
tomorrow,
that's the truth. So we can sit down and have it out for a few minutes.
Is that what you have in mind, John?
I don't think so.
I think that'd be good.
Cooper's got to know, but I just don't. That my own feeling is, Bob, the reason I raised the question, the Cooper is what stroke you got from the group. I guess we've done that.
I think the stroke Bob has with him is in the confrontation to say, Jeff, you know, that just plain isn't so. And to stare him down on some of this stuff. And it's a golden opportunity to do that. And I mean, I think you only have this one opportunity to do it. And
right.
You know he isn't so before. That's all the better. But in his present frame of mind, I'm sure he's rationalized himself into a tale that hangs together. But if he knows that you're going to righteously and indignantly deny it,
say that he's trying to lie to save his own skin,
it'll bend it. Well, then I can make the personal point you in the other direction. And Jeff, for God's sake, don't get yourself screwed up by solving one lie with a second.
That's right.
And if you've got a problem, you ain't going to make it better by making it worse.
Yeah, you'll be a hero for the moment. But
then
for the minds of,
well, Then you've got Magruder facing all
the choices. Let me tell you something.
Which I know is true.
might be a little tougher puzzle to keep now. And you're saying to me, don't make up a new lie to cover up the old lie. What would you recommend that I do to you? Stay with the old lie and hope I come out? Or clean myself up and go to jail?
What do you advise?
Or what
would you advise?
I'd advise you to go down and clean it up.
Say I lied.
Say I lied. I would advise you to seek immunity and do it.
The community.
If he can get them, absolutely.
And then what would he say?
Say, I thought I was helping. It's obvious that there's no profit in this route. I did it on my own motion. Nobody asked me to do it. I just did it because I thought it was the best thing to do from everybody's standpoint. I was wrong to do it. It's basically true. I think. The Hooters viewpoint like that. Being ruined that way, which is really being ruined, is infinitely preferable to going to jail. Going to jail for Jeff would be a very, very, very difficult
world.
It is
one
of those really difficult. Well, for Lucy, it doesn't seem to be well.
You're a very unusual person.
Yep. Now, the question is whether the U.S. attorney would grant him. Well, he would if he thought he was going to get that kind of deal. That's right. The interesting thing is, would be to watch Mitchell's face. At the time, I'd recommend to Magruder that he go down and ask for immunity and confess.
I'm on this commission.
Except on that, it seems to me, is to sell Bill Rogers on the idea. Put the head of a person to lob it at Bill Rogers and see whether he comes out with a decent idea. Well, I'd say first we've got to be convinced it's a good idea. If the person says that it is a good idea, then I'll get Bill Rogers.
You see,
they can get it.
Yeah. The problem we've got here is that I don't know everybody, of course, there's a zero problem with time and energy. Put in all this stuff, the amount of time that I should spend with Bill for official and so forth.
You're saying Bill would publicly be the father of this.
Bill would be the father of this. He'd go to Herman and say, I'm terribly concerned about
he'd be the broker.
This whole business.
He came to the president and said, this is what you must do.
He'd go to Warren.
He'd go to Herman and say, I see this impasse developing between the grand jury and
backwards. Might have a judge sit.
I don't think he would. He's already smart.
I'd
raise that. But why not ask him?
Sure.
That's fine. Either that or go to Berger or go to somebody in the judicial branch and have designate two senior judges from around the country who are retired trial judge types and just designate them at random. It takes it out of your hands to represent the judiciary.
Clark is the chairman.
Clark is the chairman, yeah.
Clark is a Democrat, a former attorney general. He'll be the chairman.
Boy. Down to Bradley.
Down to
Bradley. And then you put
a panel of three, I think would make a lot of sense. Now they have to have a staff out of the finance staff.
The Justice Department.
Clark's in touch with lawyers all over. He's got an office over here in the Taylor building.
They can hire whatever out there on the talks with them.
What that does is to attempt to one-up Urban and the grand jury. We got a third investigatory group. Seems to me that if it's just senior judges, you miss the genius of the thing. And it's got to be executive, legislative, and judicial.
Speaking of disaster,
why executive? Executive is what's on trial.
Well, sorry. Executive in the sense that you have citizens.
Senator told me that he didn't have any. Now he's back out in the press again. I don't understand that.
Okay. who is, who this wanker is he talking about?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know who it can be.
I mean, this, maybe his recruiter talked to wanker.
Yes,
no, I don't think we were talking to anybody else. Where's Wiker getting the car?
Talk to everybody he can, including Mary McGarvey.
McGarvey, in the present time, only fingers. His present finger is pointed only at two people, Dean and McGarvey.
To
insulate you,
number one, from these people,
to make you appear to be ahead of the power curve on it, and also to have some symbolic act of absolution after the thing is over, by being able to take the guy back on and say, all right, we go through the whole thing, they fired the worst they had, they didn't make the case, I'm taking this guy back and reinstating him with full status. So that was the reason that I can see the practical problem of keeping things going, but you've got an awful lot of guys around here who aren't
the government all gone.
You know, government's going.
That is the problem. The problem is not the fact that we can't run the shop, we can run the shop as well as the money. But the other hand, but it's say like let's use that yourself, let's use all of them.
Yeah,
those all of them because he will be making it up in his charts. Say all of them are to this bad.
Where are you up from here? So you look at any chance if you're coming down? That's okay, you can't do it today. Can you come down first thing in the morning? Tonight? You get your other phone? Yeah. Okay, yeah, CD and also the other phone. Get back out a couple times again. You mean that commission thing?
Yeah.
What's your feeling on that? Set up the commission, let them report out their findings with the idea that criminal prosecution will follow. It's a blue ribbon, 4-star grand jury, it's really what it is. One other thing that relates to coming down is to tell you that Jeb wants to meet with you and me. Oh, he is. Specific follow-up on specific items, but he does, if you call him and say, call somebody and say this, he calls somebody and says exactly that, and calls back and says, oh, I didn't get the answer, and that's it for that. There's no initiative, and there's no step beyond the basic one. That being said, we aren't getting that either. I think I should talk to Mike.
Right.
Secretary of State, please.
Yes, please.
What did he do?
Yep.
What did he say?
The only thing he knew was that they claims that the Port of Ventures, that we had a very amicable meeting with Weicker. And that he didn't know any of the details of the meeting that I suggested to him, that he talked to Claimies first to find out what Weicker had said to Claimies before he agreed to contact him.
I know.
Then I suggested to him.
Bill, we'll second it, Mr. President. What's your time? We ought to get together for 10 minutes ahead, let me give you some background on that meeting.
Yeah.
What's the earliest meeting time for you?
Probably
2 o'clock.
Is that right?
Is it?
Okay,
when did you make it? You would get an appointment with the president.
I've got an option for you.
And it does.
Oh, wait a second.
I've got this tomorrow at 3:20, 30, so I say.
At 1:30.
With me.
And
for the president's side, up 15 minutes at 3, he's over at 3:15.
That's
what you gotta say to the president.
Yeah.
And then just stop by my office on the way. I think your record ought to be meeting with the president.
Okay.
So, Gray's gonna do this. He's gonna check with Weicker, and then I left it with him that he would either report through me if it were appropriate, or if not, to you direct. So that, we'll hear one way or the other.
He's gonna call Weicker.
He's gonna see Weicker.
See him,
you know.
Boy, I thought
it was
good.
Today, Bob Weicker, here, so that's where I'm from.
Sure.
What the hell the next Weicker kid?
Nobody's ever able to figure that out.
He sure must be mad at one of us. I don't know who or why. Establishing his independence at this point against the upcoming committee.
Well, announcing his meeting with General Gooder.
Oh, really?
Okay.
How about that?
That is why he's got a microphone, too.
Of course, he could come down
later. He said it's a microphone.
You want to make it sit part of the phone today? I know it's a
microphone. Hello, Gary.
No, sir.
Yes?
I'd say the most important thing is to keep the momentum of the president's interest.
I know. I just meant, though, I'm just thinking of having a long seance with Mitchell tomorrow is going to be very difficult. Well, at least let's not have any schedule. I'm going to be thirsty now. Keep one day with a little preparation.
Paragraph. Hold on. I ordered Dave here.
that for being dominant. In addition to that, this player said that this statement must be considered a formal statement that we issue the contemporaneous and doesn't speak, but I want to cover your ad lib paragraph. Right? Right, of course, you can very well memorize that. That's what I'm going to do. As far as what you think, John, I'm not going to get into chapter verse. It's going to 6 or 7% more brilliant. Tell me. 15% more for the Lord. I mean, I just think I have to handle it a different way, you know, if I'm fairly straight on push that doesn't support what we're trying to do before we got the portions of the cost of the package. I don't want to part, I was simply indicating, I was just trying to indicate that if you would push out your life, you should have to sell it. I hope I'm better than what we're doing. Yeah. With me, the way I work, I've heard this today. Yeah. Done with it. Yeah. And tomorrow I'm free for a couple of days in practice. It takes you to get particularly speech that you're not going to read. Yeah. It takes a great deal of concentration. You've got to build up to it.
Target of the committee.
How do you analyze Magruder tossing it off to you rather than to Mitchell? I think that's probably the
thing. Well, he's Mitchell too. I think he's just trying to wrap these because he wants to get you in. I think my view is that what Magruder was doing here was firing a threat rather than an intent to say it. I don't think he intends to use that so much as he intended. He's trying to get people shook up.
He isn't asking to see me, is he?
Oh, no. He's trying to get the lion around you for his own protection. People are jealous. In other words, if all Magruder is going to do is take the dive himself, then we aren't going to care about it. If he makes us worry, then he's going to get
trouble
with you and me.
Do you see any way, though, any way that Magruder can stick to the story?
Yes, because he's a
stick to the story.
He's a genius witness. I think, as I'm told, if he is really as good as he is, as they say he is, as a witness, it's possible he could get away with it. It's argued so
that it's his word against the court.
And he's pulling with the string, you see. He's saying the things they want him to say.
No, I don't mean that he says it. I think
it's a good story. I see. I think the story he's laying on here.
No, this story. They take that in a minute.
I tell you, I'm to the point now where I don't think this thing's going to hold together. And my hunch is that anybody who tries to stick with a story that is not susceptible to corroboration is going to be in serious difficulty. So,
what do you do?
Well, that's why I said I thought he ought to move to an immune confession of perjury if he can do it. There's too many cross currents in this thing now.
Yeah. This is my view, but that's the sort of view I have come to. I'm not sure if you checked it out. The Magruder's got to say that, but then what the hell's in it for him?
Immunity.
Well, if he gets immunity,
yeah.
That good God can't the U.S. and we not enough influence. Who grants the immunity? The judge in Sirica grants immunity
and a grand jury proceeding. Irvin grants it in the congressional.
Attorney General granted congressional.
No, but what he does there is informally work out with the Congress the tendency of various department action.
I see.
Location rehab, future business.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Sure. Yes, that it is. That's what we're here for. That it is.
complaint. You've got you farm me is right. You get something on Gray. You farm me as soon as you've got something on findings. I'd have a real woodshed with them. Like I said, eventually it's just gonna dent this minor, you know, and he'll jump up and down, shot up the house. I'm always in that. But you just said, no, let's level that guy. I'm on a level with you. We're getting a bad rap here, and we're not gonna allow it. Now, the real problem is, you know, what about this? What do you think about it? We're gonna get out of it. And God damn well, Mitchell is right. Of course we are, though. We can't take any down call. I mean, Silver, or is that too dangerous for him? I mean, he doesn't have to do that. Henry Peterson follows that thing on a daily basis. Henry Peterson. Henry can let Dick know, and that's all we're doing. All right, just tell Dick.